Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me today. So this show is going to be a little different. I recently went to a women's conference that they put on here, actually in Arizona. And I am coming across as I'm traveling and I'm speaking and just sitting down and talking with everyday Catholic woman, because so many people are struggling right now and living out their faith, things going on in the world, with their motherhood, with their marriages. Everybody, one right now, is struggling in their own way, right? And it's a battle, and we all know that. But how are the just the everyday Catholic people handling those day in, day out struggles, battles, and difficulty in their lives? And so I have these beautiful three women that I just sat down with, and I just wanted them to tell me their story, where they came from, how they're Catholic, how they're living it out, things that are going on, and how they overcame them. Because I think that's the biggest thing, is that we're not in this alone. We all struggle. We all fall. We're all sinners. But how do you get back up again? And everybody's journey looks different. And so I just wanted to sit down, talk with them, and share those conversations with you. But before we get into that, I want to have a minute with Justin Fatigue. We all love Justin Fatigue, and you can see him on EWTN. But here is Justin Fatigue.
Suffering is no easy challenge. When we suffer, it hurts. And St. Gemma says, first, we must learn to suffer. Then we can learn to love. That's so true. I know in my own life, when I was the most rejected in my humanity, that's when I was the most sensitive. When I failed miserably, I thought, man, I let Jesus down. But that's when I became the most compassionate. See, as a human, we have to realize that whether we're suffering because of our own mistakes or we're suffering just because of life, I can tell you that suffering, like St. Gemma says, teaches us to love in a deeper way. Thank you, Jesus, for teaching me that suffering is a gift.
Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. So we are going to get into it with these beautiful ladies. But before we do that, I need to make a quick disclaimer that I was losing my voice and I thought, okay, I can get through this interview. It's going to be okay. But at times, it actually sounds like I had been crying, or I was crying, but I promise you I wasn't. I was at the tail end of just this sickness. And the last thing was just my voice. I was absolutely fine, but I sounded terrible. So I just want to let you know I wasn't crying. I was completely fine. But these interviews were amazing, and I knew I wasn't going to be able to just reschedule them. So I just went ahead. So I want to let you know what's going on. But I got it done. So we are actually going to start with Deanna Cantu. And her story is amazing. And those of you out there that may have dealt with a family member or a friend or someone close to you that you may have lost, or if you struggle maybe with competition, or maybe just making time for Jesus, that she really was just so honest, and it was just so beautiful and touching. And if you struggle with those things, I think her story and just her encouragement can really help you. So without further ado, here she is.
I'm Deanna Cantu, and I am married to a wonderful man. We've been married for 9 years, and we have four small children, ages 7, 6, 4, and 2. And we are homeschooling them. My husband works from home, so we're together all the time. And yeah, we're just trying to raise a holy family in a world that does not feel holy at all. I grew up with two siblings. I'm the second of three. My older brother passed away in his 20s, and then my younger brother is 6 years younger than me, and he's married to a wonderful woman, and they have three adorable children. And then I have a nephew from that older brother. So we were raised Catholic, but very culturally so. We're Mexican. And so that's sort of just like par for the course you're just, you go to Mass every Sunday, but you don't really know why. You pray the rosary, you don't know why. When he died, it was very, very difficult. It was very sudden, but it did not shake my faith at all. Like at that point, I was already in it for the long haul, you know. I'd already made a commitment to the Lord. I'd already experienced him really intimately. So it didn't, it was difficult, but it didn't make me question anything. It just definitely made me feel close to the cross in a way that I'd never felt before. I think that it was really difficult for other members of my family who did not have that faith and who felt just really overtaken by grief. I think grief can be just a monster if we allow it to be. I think we really were in a lot of grace at that time. And I think too that like allowing those times of grief to come, but not to dwell in them, mm-hmm. that they're going to come regardless, but that your life sort of just makes room for that grief. It doesn't have to become, grief doesn't have to become your whole life.
That's right.
And I think that, you know, with loss, it feels so permanent, but we know that it's not permanent. We know that this world is what is not permanent, you know, but that life is eternal. And so, you know, missing someone for, you know, 20 years is like a blip in all of eternity when you get to see them again. So I guess I've really clung to that reality that it's just, it's not goodbye. It's just see you later.
I like that. Yeah, I haven't heard that before. I love that. That's excellent. So how else were you able to, how did you strengthen your faith in your walk with God?
Well, I had a really beautiful community of women. And there's six of us, and five of us live together in a house, only because the other one had already been married and had kids. So we all lived together and kind of saw each other, like as we sought our vocations, found our husbands, got married, started having children. And so those women are so imperative to my growth because they always lifted me up. And I can't imagine people who are out there who don't have community. That's got to be so hard to not have those people in your life that are going to lift you up and build you up and encourage you. When you feel low, like the lows are going to come. And to have those people championing you or championing your marriage, wanting holiness for you, you know, asking you if you're going to Mass, asking you those questions. Mm-hmm. It's like the good peer pressure. You know, of
spiritual,
like
spiritual cheerleaders almost.
Yes,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. Were. Yeah, like they're your, you know, the people that are walking with you, you know. So I think that that was so vital for me. I didn't grow up with sisters. So I feel like God gifted me sisters because he knew that my brothers were not going to cut it. You know, like they don't know what it's like to be, you know, a woman. And so to have sisters that were gonna have those hard conversations, you know, like back to that, you know, the conversation of grief that I knew the cross and I could see God in it, but that doesn't mean that I wasn't really struggling through it. And I was living with five of my closest friends and they were really lifting me up when I would be tempted to kind of close in on myself or tempted to start reaching for those things that were gonna only temporarily fill this void. They were the ones that were like, let's go do this. Let's go on this retreat. Let's pray together. Let's have a community night where we have praise and worship at our house with everybody. You know, like they really lifted me up. And so I think that we are tempted as women to say, women are catty and I don't want relationships with them. And
competition.
Yes. No, yeah. Sense. And so then we don't put the effort when there's people maybe that God is putting in our lives, women that God is putting in our lives to say, she is not here to compete with you. She is here to help you through this thing that's coming your way. Mm-hmm. Or to help you flourish in this gift that you have that maybe you didn't even realize you had. So I think being open to having those female relationships, those sisterhood relationships, is really, really important and difficult if you didn't grow up with them. You know, if you don't know how to navigate them, it's a little bit challenging sometimes for sure.
So now in this crazy world that we live in, and everybody knows what I mean by that listening right now, how do you live your faith out and so strongly and so faithfully? Because even now in your life, it seems from what I know, you are very faithful, and you found even in your church now a really strong community of women here, and they're wonderful.
Yeah.
And not a lot of women have that, or like, well, it's not like that at my church or this and that. And maybe that kind of goes back to being fearful of being in a competition kind of state, or just that way of thinking women have a hard time breaking from that, or they won't be accepted, you know, or judged. Women can be incredibly judgmental, yes. Right?
Yeah.
So can you kind of speak to that and just what you have found yourself that and how they can spot that or maybe to overcome that fear to help them in their own life?
Yeah. I mean, I think something that's been helpful to me is just always thinking the best of others and their intentions and not to be so guarded. So if a new person is inviting me in, you know, like to coffee or to have a play date or something, if I don't know them, I'm still saying yes, because I feel like, well, there's a reason that God is putting them in my path. And so this could be either a friendship for my children or a friendship for me, or maybe their husband is going to be really good for my husband or vice versa, you know? So I'm also an extrovert though. So I'm not going to say no to a party, you know, like you're inviting me, I'm going to go. I'm going to go. But yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, being open and also just open to people that are different ages than you, you know, that doesn't have to be someone who's exactly your age. They could be younger, they can be older. I feel like so many of the women that are so beautiful at this parish for me are the older ones who are like in their grandmother stage, who are just super encouraging and always lifting me up and making me feel good when the kids are bananas at mass, you know, which is all the time.
Let me just say that again, bananas at mass, because yes. I've experienced that all too many times. Yeah. And people are watching us, and it's hard sometimes because my kids are not these little angels people think that they're going to be because I'm their mom. And maybe they're thinking, no, they're so not because I am their mom. But it gets hard sometimes. And there is no perfection in any family, right? And sometimes you just have to grit through it. And if you're annoying that old lady across from you or the other family who has no kids and doesn't understand, well, that's okay. You know, God is going to work something through them in that. But not to be afraid of the chaos at mass. And sometimes we're humbled.
Every time. I don't know about you, but literally every Sunday.
And that's okay. But we're there for God. We're not there for people. Right. We're not looking left and right. We're looking up to God.
Yeah.
And we're trying to serve and please Him, right? Mm-hmm. If you could say anything and leave any advice for women out there, if they're struggling, if they're overwhelmed, if it's all too much as a mom or in their marriages, whatever it may be, with your own life and your own journey and things you've experienced, what would you want to say to them and what advice do you have for them?
I guess the advice I would give is that if you're struggling, then the best way to get some consolation or just some grace is, I mean, not only to live sacramentally, but to make sure that you are committing time to go to adoration every week. So whatever you have to do, if that means you're getting up way earlier and going to your closest adoration chapel, or if that means that you're putting all the kids to bed and then going late after everyone's gone to bed. I've been doing a holy hour for probably about 12 years now, and it's so transformative. I mean, just the thing that has helped me find my vocation, find my husband, find grace in the extreme difficulties of motherhood. It's helped me know that we were supposed to homeschool. It's given me grace in every aspect of our life. So I would say, even if you're not feeling anything, even if it feels like you're wasting your time sitting there doing nothing, you are not wasting time. That is like the most precious time, is that time before the Lord.
What was the pivotal moment that made you do that? Not everybody's just like, I'm doing holy hour. It's been 12 years and I'm still going strong. Like, what brought that on?
Initially, I worked at a parish and the chapel was across the parking lot from my office, and there was no reason not to. I mean, there was just no reason not to.
He
was right there.
That whisper.
Yeah,
that
right. Invitation, yes. Basically. He was like, I'm just hanging out waiting on you to just come over here. You have all this stuff you want to talk about. And I'm here ready to listen whenever you're ready to come over. So I just started going. I didn't sign up. And then like a year in, I thought, okay, I should probably commit to this. And then that was just so transformative. I just can't imagine not going. Like if we're sick and I miss it, I feel that. And then God makes time. So a few weeks ago, everyone had the flu and it was horrible. And I missed my holy hour. And I was starting to get better. And then the director of the Adoration Chapel was like, hey, we need someone for this hour. Can anyone take it? And I was like, oh, that hour's meant for me. Mm-hmm. Like I missed my hour and God is giving me mm-hmm. this hour. So I went, you know? So I think once we start doing it, we say like, we don't have enough time, but we have plenty of time. And God is always there. And then you miss the time when he's not. Yes.
And you know, it's interesting you use the word commit because it is a relationship with Jesus. And when you actually do commit to him and you have that date with him or that time with him, or you make that appointment with him, whatever it is.
Yes.
It becomes a staple and you really do miss that time when you don't go. So it is a relationship that you are fostering by putting your energy and your effort and that commitment in. So people that may not understand adoration, once you just start going, Jesus kind of just moves you almost in your heart and speaks to you that time becomes precious that you miss it. And yes. I finally committed because I'm so busy and crazy, you know, yes. in my schedule.
Yeah.
And there is such a difference when you cross over and it's like, no, this is happening no matter what's going on, you know?
So yes. Yeah. That. And it's a sacrifice. I mean, my husband goes at 4 a.m. on Mondays, like the least attractive random. Time to like, me. Yes. But we've committed to these times and I can't imagine not having that in my life.
Okay, ladies, that was amazing. And I took so much from that. And the next woman that we are going to speak to is Rachel. And if you are struggling with maybe just coming back to the faith, or maybe you're thinking about coming back to the faith, or maybe your family isn't Catholic and you don't feel that they may understand if you let them know you're Catholic or how to even go about doing this. And you know, this is where you belong. You're embracing your faith. You know, Jesus is calling you to the Catholic faith, but maybe your family doesn't agree and you're not sure what to do. That Rachel's story is absolutely beautiful and can absolutely help you with that. And also if you are struggling with your faith or just what to do in these hard times, especially if you are pregnant. So without further ado, here is Rachel.
So I'm Rachel Stiak. I did not grow up in a Catholic home. My dad was Catholic, but like very culturally so. His father was Protestant and his mom was Catholic, and his mom was like the only one who went to Mass, and none of the kids went to Mass, and they just kind of like, you know, his family was just like kind of Catholic. Like they just got the sacraments and then that's it. And so when my dad married my mom, they didn't have any plan to raise us really anything, just kind of Christian, like in general. So we never grew up going to Mass or anything like that. And then my parents sent us to Catholic school. They pulled us out of public school and sent us to like the local Catholic school that like all the kids in our neighborhood go to. And that was in the third grade. And so thank God I got to receive all my sacraments and kind of learn about those things and really like encounter this faith that I had that I knew nothing about. And then years later, I'm in the fifth grade, I'm 11, and this one boy tells the story about how his mom got like a diagnosis in her pregnancy with him, and she was told to abort him. And he said that his aunt did a novena to Saint Therese and asked that he would, you know, one of the roses, that he would be okay. And sure enough, the mom gets the roses and doesn't abort him. So I hear about this, and it was my first realization that there was like a spiritual world that I knew nothing about. And so I just remember going home, and we had just watched this new movie in school about Saint Joan of Arc. And so I went home and said my own little prayer and was like, Joan of Arc, if you can hear me, send me a butterfly. And I'm 11. So like that week I was on the playground and a ton of butterflies, little white butterflies just fly around me like this.
Wow.
And I was just like, oh my gosh, the Lord like exists, you know, like Jesus exists. And it really just flooded me. And that's the only way I can really describe it, is it just flooded me. And so, you know, I just started, you know, bringing my Catholic books home and like reading them at home. And my parents were kind of like, this is weird. But okay, we'll take it. And so fast forward to me, that was in the fifth grade when I was 11. In eighth grade, I found out that I was born with a heart defect. And we didn't know at the time that I had it. And so I needed two heart surgeries to repair this. And so as I'm kind of going through this and we're trying to figure out what day I'm going to get surgery and all these things, my dad starts wearing this medal around his neck. And I don't really understand this. And I just kind of noticed the medal. And this is like months going by. And so he comes home and he just explains it to me. And he was like, this medal I got on my honeymoon, and it was in Medjugorje. And when you were born, I was born at 27 weeks. I was very, very premature and was not supposed to survive. And he said that he placed the medal on my incubator and he asked Mary to save me. And I lived. And I grew a strong devotion to her after that. And my dad gave me the medal when I had my first baby.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, that was in eighth grade, and that was very powerful. And then went through high school just trying to like soak in my faith and trying to just grasp anything, because I wasn't going to Mass at the time. My family was not going to Mass. All I really had was that 1 hour of class in school. And so I just tried to hold on to that and try to learn from that. I was definitely very alone because my parents didn't allow me to have any religious items in my room or anything. They were like, you can have one thing.
What'd you pick?
I had a little candle that a nun gave me from school, and it had Mary and Jesus on it, and it was like carved out of olive wood, and you put like a tea light in it.
Yeah.
And so that's what I had. That was kind of all I could
have. Well, that's all you need. Yeah. Immaculate Heart, yeah. The Sacred Heart of Jesus, right?
Yeah. And so they were just like, oh, you can only have like one thing. And I just had a bunch of things like in drawers, kind of like stashed away. It was all very hidden. It was all stashed away, you know, all my little things. There was like a falling point when I was 19 and I went to college. I had this deep calling to be a nun. And I came home and I told my family I was going to drop out of school and be a nun. And they lost it. And so I just backed up from that, you know, and I was like, oh, I just froze. And after that point, I felt really like I couldn't go, like it was hard for me to go to Mass after that. It was like, because to face the Lord and feel like I denied him was such a deep wound. And so I met my husband, who is a cradle Catholic, and we were going to Mass and we were Catholic, but not, I wasn't invested the same way because I felt this deep pain. So at the time I actually was just going to Mass like on feast days and things like that. And I spent 8 years doing that.
Wow.
And then in 2020, when just things felt like the world was going to end and the sky was falling, I came back like in full force. Yeah. And really during that 8 years though, I had a deep devotion to Saint Therese and to Saint Joseph. Mm-hmm. I love them deeply, and I still had my novenas to them and really had these, they were just like the kindling on the fire for me. I just felt this kind of voice in my heart that was like, you're still mine. And just kind of just holding to that. And then when I came back, and you kind of have those readings about the prodigal son, of like the one who stays with the father but doesn't know the father, and then the one who comes back. And I just realized that I was both sons. Like I was the one that came back in 2020 but didn't know who the father was. Mm-hmm. And so I had to really relearn who the Lord was and his like mercy and his forgiveness and his love for me. And so I had to really relearn this and almost like rewire that. And so that was 2020. And it took me about a year to really relearn who God was, because my intention was to come back to Mass and ignore the Lord. And just to be like, oh, I'll just come because I know it's what I'm supposed to do, but I'm not going to
go through the motions and not really embrace
that
relationship
again. Right. But it was too painful to do that. And so I understood that I had to relearn who God was.
Did you ever deal with that pain?
I think the Lord is most merciful to me. And it was like a slow drip of him just inviting me closer to him. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't like this. I think people have this idea that wounds, if you open those up, it's going to be like Pandora's box. And it's just going to unleash this deep, you know, suffering and this turmoil. And for me,
manage it.
Right. And for me, it wasn't that way. It was like the slow drip and the Lord just slowly pulling me closer to him. And that desire just grew into a deeper desire.
How was your husband in all of this, your future husband in all of this? Was he really supportive and like all there, right?
Yeah. He was all there. And he was, like I said, he was a cradle Catholic. And even when we had met and I was kind of fallen away from the church, because of the guilt that I had felt, when we were dating, I said, you know, like, I won't sleep with you. That's my, you know, I'm Catholic. And, that was still kind of there. That was still there. And he, being like a secular Catholic, he was like, you're worth it. Aww. And that was,
Wasn't that what we all want, exactly, you're worth it, right?
Yeah. So and he was the first. He just confused me so much because I had never met anybody who had said that to me. And so that's, you know, he's devout, and we're a devout family. And then when we had come back, it was nice to relearn who God was, because shortly after that, in 2021. My husband was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, and it's been, difficult for both of us, you know, to see your spouse suffer like that is a great wound and a great pain. But then to see somebody persevere and still have faith in God, like my husband does, is so, it's so moving, you know, you're like, wow. And then being, you know, very few people you allow see you suffer. And there's a sacredness in being with someone while they suffer. And there's something there that I can't quite put my finger on it, but that's what I experience when he's not doing well.
So it's kind of highs and lows, and yes, there's seasons in his health.
Yeah, for sure. There's seasons in his health for sure.
And you're pregnant now. And how many kids do you have?
We have three kids, and I'm pregnant with my fourth.
And being a busy mom and also dealing with your husband's sickness, how do you deal with that? How do you overcome that? Because you know there's highs and lows already with your husband's health. And then you see what's going on in the world. You're ready to have a baby in this crazy world. You know, that's that can be a scary thing. So how do you deal with that?
I love to think about what Peter says to the Lord. And when he says, for you, Master, I will cast my net again. You know, when he's been fishing all night and he's caught no fish and he doesn't want to throw that net again. You know, I think about that. And I just kind of say that to myself, like, for you, Lord, I'll cast my net again. And even if it means I'm tired and I, you know, feel like I can't overcome these things, for you, I'll cast my net again. I just kind of say that.
That's beautiful. Wow. That is absolutely remarkable. I love that. Good on you. Woohoo! That was great. You hear that, ladies? You cast that net for Jesus. And don't be afraid to do that, because that's what God wants us to do. Unafraid, right? Unafraid. And we have that fear. Just know he's there. He's got us. God really does have us. And isn't that what we all want to know? That someone just look at you with all this love in their eyes, and with all the confidence in the world to say, I've got you. I just see that. And it's like, I want that so badly. And I know I have that. But there's so many women out there that long for that. And they can have that, but in Jesus. And they're so far removed. So it's really beautiful that you have that kind of faith, that you just kind of cast that net, everyone. You hear that? So That was great. So if you could say anything to women out there, whatever it may be, if they are struggling or they are living in fear or they are ready to have a baby or they're dealing with some sickness or illness right now and they don't know how to overcome, what advice would you give them?
I would say carving out that time for the Lord every day, whether it's like just that single moment or that single minute, if you have to set an alarm on your phone, if it means just like saying one Hail Mary at noon every day, like doing that. And then having a lot of grace with yourself. Like if it is a hard season, being okay with struggling a little bit. I think that's okay. And allowing like the Lord into that and to speak into that.
And what is your favorite prayer?
The rosary is my favorite prayer.
Yeah, the weapon.
Yeah,
the weapon. Exactly.
We are going to take a quick break now with our friends over at EWTN, but we will be back with more of these unbelievable women. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining us and for those of you just tuning in. So before I get back into it with these lovely women, and for those of you that are just tuning in, I need to make a quick disclaimer that I recorded this show earlier and I was losing my voice. So again, if it sounds like I'm crying or I'm just a little sick, that is what's going on, but I'm not crying. I promise. I just was having a hard time towards the end of a sickness and it just came out in my voice. So with that being said, we are talking to just everyday beautiful Catholic women and how they live in our times right now and in this world and live out their faith and stay steadfast and strong. And what is it they do to overcome the different battles and struggles in their life? And so I am just sitting down with these everyday beautiful Catholic women and just talking with them about their lives and their experience and their journey. So without further ado, we're going to get into it with Dominique. And I love her story because if you have a dark past or a sinful past like I have or like Dominique has, and you feel like if you come into the church, are you going to be judged or maybe rejected, or you've gone too far and you're unreachable from God, or maybe you have come back to the faith, but you felt awkward and how you really live this out and how can you kind of go forward because maybe you have some guilt or still some shame that you're carrying. Even if you have gone to confession, I even experienced that and it was really difficult and hard, but you just keep on, keep on. And we just keep showing up to our fight. And Dominique is an excellent example of that. So without further ado, let's get into it with Dominique.
Okay, Dominique, you've been here before with me. And I wanted to follow up just because of what you're doing. And it's almost time for this amazing event that you're going to be putting on. And it seems like it's grown and gotten very popular and women are gravitating towards it. And I see that. And it all came from you just having that courage to say yes to God. And some women are having a hard time doing that, especially right now. So just kind of recap your story, where you've come from, and then we'll just kind of go from there.
Okay. Well, it can be hard to say yes to that courage because you can always feel like somebody knows the faith better. There's always somebody who's, I always say I was very poorly catechized for going to Catholic school my whole life. Like, I still feel like I know nothing. And I'll talk to my friends and I love that they fill in the gaps. But I just said yes to this call I had in my living room years ago, and here we are. So briefly, I went to Catholic school most of my life, but I didn't really have that conversion of heart or truly believe in God even. I didn't know much about the faith, even though I went to Catholic school. I feel like I knew the responses because I didn't want to be embarrassed. I didn't know the responses because I knew what I was saying. And so, you know, over my adult life, I was just living an exciting and very sinful life, which can be embarrassing, you know, coming to groups like this where everybody waited till marriage and I didn't have that. But I've just learned like I can reach other people and it's okay. And I want to, share the mercy of God that I was shown. But I spent time working at Cosmo in New York, which is why I was initially on your show. And then I spent time working with a designer in Milan too, all of which, you know, you look back and you're like, oh, I wish I went here in Italy. I wish I went there, but I didn't do any of that. I just had fun. I married my husband in 2018 and I had an infusion of truth and knowledge. And I knew the love of God. I knew how deeply I had offended him and I knew how I offended him, which was the more painful part. I knew every sin I had committed and that I had to go confess it. And it took me months to do that. But it was the most freeing feeling to get to confession after probably 15 years. But you can listen to my full story on one of the other podcasts that I did with Crystalina a couple months ago. But within that conversion, the Lord really instilled a sense of urgency in my heart. And it hasn't wavered, even, you know, it's been a few years and it's still very strong. It's an urgent call, not just for conversion of people that are not Catholic, but continual conversion. Even though we are Catholic, like the one rosary is just not enough anymore. Mm-hmm. So now I spend my life sounding the alarm to urgent conversion and leading others to him and his mercy. The world is going to continue to shake with sin and catastrophe. And amidst the chaos, the Lord is waiting for all of us in confession, in Holy Mass, and in adoration. All of the chaos will continue to experience, we will continue to experience needs to drive us to Jesus. And that's why he's allowing it. He wants us to turn to him and we are not going to find peace anywhere else. And we'll continue to shake until we turn to him.
And how do you turn to him in your life? What does that look like?
For me, I do a weekly holy hour and I just show up, you know, having little babies and having a big volunteer position. I don't have the time to like commit to that 1 hour, but that same 1 hour. But I'll commit to a hour. Sometimes my friends will watch the kids for me. Sometimes I'll go late at night. Sometimes I'll go really early in the morning. And then I go without a plan because if I'm waiting for myself to come up with a plan, I'm not going to show up because the plan is never going to be perfect. So I just show up and like Aaron said, he does the work. You just sit in the car and he transforms your heart. But I've been thinking about how like we all grew up watching Disney movies and like there's always a hero and we were conditioned to always wait for a hero. And so now we're living in this world where everything seems to be going to shambles and we're scared for what's next. But Jesus is our hero. Like Jesus is our savior. And it's that realization of like, I'm surrendering because he's so in control.
It seems like he's not. And people would like argue and say, there's nothing in control right now. The church isn't in control. It the seems world's like he's not in control. Blah, 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 blah. Right? But yeah. Actually, on the surface, it's like pure chaos, right? Mm-hmm. But if you just go down underneath, I heard someone once say, like, when you see ducks swimming, they look so graceful in this and they're doing, but underneath their feet are going super fast, and they're pedaling, they're going. But if you saw underneath what's going on, and it's kind of vice versa, mm-hmm. upside down, right? Mm-hmm. It's just like there seems like there's this chaos and this crazy, but really, God, there's just this steady. Like, if you have that faith, we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to worry about what's next because God's got this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can feel like a duck paddling water. Isn't that what they say, duck paddling water? Even in motherhood, you know, people are always like, you're so calm. And I don't feel like that. I feel like a duck paddling water, but like calm on the top. And I just feel like I have this understanding of it has to be this way. Like this has to happen because we're celebrating sin. Like it's past the point of just accepting it. We're celebrating down the streets, celebrating the worst sins possible. And so I just understand it has to happen. I read a lot of apparitions that our Blessed Mother gives us, and they're really for the times that we're in.
Because there's a lot of approved apparitions. There's a lot. They're actually approved. There's like some wonky stuff. There always is going to be a counter of the evil one trying to confuse us. Mm-hmm. But there are some serious apparitions that have been approved by the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like Fatima tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I feel like she was speaking to our times. And Sister Lucia said in an interview that the final battle between the reign of Satan and God is between family and the marriage.
And most people are struggling in some way, shape, or form in their marriage. If it's with sickness, if it's with financial stuff, if it's with infidelity or pornography or whatever it is, every marriage seems to be being tested in some way, shape, or form. So if you are struggling and you're at home and you're just like, oh, I can't even deal with this right now, you're not the only one. And you're not, even if you are a good, God-fearing woman and you're struggling in your marriage, you're not alone. And there are a lot of women that are struggling right now in their marriage, maybe in different ways, but we're really under spiritual attack right now. So just know it's the what's happening in our times. But God has given us all the weapons to deal with the things coming at us, correct?
Yeah. I think even if you're in like a devout Catholic marriage, the devil's still attacking that. We tend to think like, oh, well, we go to Mass every Sunday. We go to confession. We do this. We do that. We pray the rosary, the chaplet. Of course he wants to attack you. You're the first one he wants to attack.
How do you discern between actually hearing Jesus speaking to you or just like knowing this is what God is asking you to do versus maybe this is what I want to do?
Mm-hmm. It can be hard at first, especially when you feel so ignorant, like you feel like an intruder in the Catholic Church. You're like, oh my gosh, if you knew all the things I did before I knew Jesus, like how can I, like you could feel so embarrassed even in front of Jesus. But he's so merciful and good, and he fully forgives you. And so I think once I got past that and I knew I was forgiven, thank you, St. Faustina, for divine mercy. When it wasn't the will of God, the door closes. And if you're like looking for those cues, it can be really easy. It's like, and to just accept it. Like if you're trying to do something and the door closes, to just be like, okay, then that's not it. Like if the Lord wants it to happen, it's going to happen. And we've seen that with this retreat where people are like, how did you do it? And I'm like, we didn't. Like the like it just happened. I didn't really do that much. Like it just all unfolded because it was the Lord's will.
And I remember the day you called me and you were so passionate and you were so like, you just knew what you wanted. And that was you just knew, right? And you were so sure and I could hear it in your voice, but it was so refreshing too. And you were being so obedient and just walking. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. And it's because of the obedience. They don't want to be obedient. They want what they want and they want God to fit into what they want. And it doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. And you were being incredibly obedient. And God blesses that when you are obedient, even when it's hard or scary or whatever else is happening in your life, right? Mm-hmm. And he's amazing like that. And he always shows up. Even if it's the last minute, he'll always show up for you. And I just see that happening even with this retreat and everything coming together here. Mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing. And in all the different stories in these women's lives, he always has shown up, mm-hmm. right? And so we just have to have faith in that. And I just want to encourage Catholics, because Dominique, every time I talk to her or every time I see her, she's always so enthusiastic and so on fire and just like, she's just this force to be reckoned with almost. I love it, right? And it's because her fierce love for Jesus and doing God's will. And with that, though, is there ever a time that you have felt, Dominique, that you're too much? And how do you handle that? Because right now, I think a lot of Catholics, just in their little faith that they just expose, like peek their head out like a little turtle almost sometimes, that even they feel like that's too much. But then there's us, those of us like you and I that are just like, whoa, I'm Catholic, let's go. What's your problem? You know, like sometimes you think, well, you're too much, but you're not. And we're doing the will of God. And that's the end. How do you handle that?
Okay, yes, I feel like I'm too much all the time and I get really embarrassed by it. So I do still try and tame it a little bit. And like, I'm just learning to not let everybody into like every part of my life because the devil can use that too. And so you can be a lot in your faith, but you don't have to let everybody into like every piece of you. And so I'm learning that. But yes, I feel like I'm too much all the time, especially because when I came back to the church, I felt like the very holy people that I saw, like in quotes, very holy, because what do I know, were so like meek and quiet. And I was like, oh, wow, I really have to do a lot of changing here, you know, to fit in. But then I'm just starting to realize I don't. The times that we're living in, we need people to really just say it as it is. Stop sugarcoating it, telling everybody to put the rose-colored glasses down, because we're living in some times where you need to make a pick. Are you on the side of the devil or the side of God? There's just no in-between anymore.
So if you could say anything to women right now, what advice do you want to give them in living out their Catholic faith and having kids right now and everything that seems that is so up against us as Catholics, as women, everything going on? What advice do you want to give them?
Okay. I would say, as the world continues to shake with disasters, wars, whatever shakes you, because eventually there's going to be something that triggers you, even if it hasn't happened yet, turn to Jesus. When you're looking like, what are we going to do? Turn to Jesus and our Blessed Mother and the saints. And don't be paralyzed, because when you have a conversion, like a lot of people are about to have, it's going to be radical and you're going to be completely paralyzed. You're not going to know what to do. You're going to feel unworthy. You're going to know all of your sin. But know that Jesus loves you and it's not too late. You can still turn to him in an instant. Just say yes. And then just start praying. And if you can get to adoration where the Blessed Sacrament is exposed, go. You could talk to a million people, but no one will touch your heart like Jesus will. And he can do it in a second. And in that prayer, receive your marching orders and go do it, because time is out and it's time to march.
I want to thank my guests again for being here, Deanna, Rachel, and Dominique, for your immense courage and your willingness to come on and be so vulnerable and open with your stories and your journey. Just thank you, ladies. And I know you've touched the hearts of a lot of women out there, including myself. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And for those of you listening that just know you have certain things that you need to deal with or face, or things that you haven't dealt with yet, that is maybe just lingering from your past, that now is the time to just face it, own it, and heal it. And EWTN is your family, and they are here to help, and so am I. And so with that being said, EWTN has come up with this amazing free, ladies, okay? And I mean, when I say free, I mean free online learning series, Women Made New. And do you maybe struggle with anxiety, or do you have wounds that need to be healed, or has someone just hurt you deeply in your life and you haven't been able to overcome it and you're just surviving right now? Or maybe you just struggle with huge insecurities that you can't get rid of, just those things that just keep lingering. Or maybe you battle with self-doubt like I have in my life, or past trauma from being a child of divorce. I'm a child of divorce. Or maybe past sexual wounds that you just haven't faced yet. I know, and it's scary and it can be hard and overwhelming, and those dark places that you don't have the courage to shine that light on yet. And I didn't either, but I overcame these things when I did it with Jesus. And this is your invitation now. And like I said, you can do it in the privacy of your own home. And it is an online free learning series that you can download. And if you go to EWTN.com/womenmadenew, you can sign up there online, or you can download the EWTN mobile learning app that they have, and it's right there in your phone. And along with this is a digital study guide. It asks you questions, it has reflections, it has prayers, it has resources. Everything is literally
right there at your fingertips. But you've got to sign up. You have to show up to your fight and just see what God is saying to you. And it is an 8-part video series accompanied with just prayers. Mother Angelica's in it, and so many women that have just overcome huge obstacles in their life. And so many of us feel like we're just kind of handicapped in those obstacles. And I have been there and I have done that. And even now I have some things I have to face that I'm having to go through. But you're not alone, and that God is with you. So if you want to download the study guide, you want to download the learning series and the free mobile app, again, you can go to ewtn.com/womenmadenew, or it's right there in your phone, ladies, and you can download it in your apps. So it is Saturday. I have to always remind you that go to confession. It is Saturday. And there is nothing more important than being right with God. And today can be that day. And tonight you can go to bed at peace. So everywhere around the country right now, in the United States, a lot of churches are open this afternoon and have confession available. So just that quick friendly reminder, go to confession and know that you are in my prayers, and if you could please keep me and my family in yours. I hope you have a beautiful and blessed Saturday, and I look forward to seeing you next week. God bless.